Hello and welcome to another episode of Gully Cricket to Bouncy Wicket podcast. I am your host Srinivas.
Hi everybody, this is Raja.
First of all, our wishes to all sports persons and sports lovers on this National Sports Day. And Bhavina Patel winning the silver at Paralympics just made the day better. So I think this is the end of good things to say on this episode. So Raja, how has your week been? Is it any better than my boring week?
Quite interesting, at least a lot of changes in the, on the personal front and the work front. So I had to make a transition and a transfer of location. So it's been pretty hectic on the work front. But as I said, when it comes to sporting achievements, quite difficult to look past anything beyond whatever Paralympic success has happened, because it's been a very tough week for Indian fans. And I think we'll get to it in a lot more detail going forward as well.
Definitely, Raja. I think I was just waiting for some news from the Paralympics, you know, to kickstart the activities, because like it happened for the main Olympics, whenever there is a first medal announcement, generally, you know, people tend to go and look into the details and follow more. So yeah. I hope, you know, more people will follow Paralympics and India will get more medals. So Raja, let's get started with our test match. And so again, this is frankly, this kind of loss is not unfamiliar for India, especially while touring England, right? But what happened in the last two test matches has really, you know, camouflaged our thoughts about these kind of, you know, things that may happen at England. So let's look in detail. First of all, you know, Kohli winning the toss. And he won the toss on such a tough pitch. Probably it would have been better if he would have lost the toss and let England decide, you know, whether they want to bat or ball. Even Joe Root mentioned at the toss that it was a tricky, you know, pitch, and the pitch was looking a little bit tacky and it may be difficult to start with. But at the same time, this is what happens in most of the grounds in England, right? Like, you have to be very careful probably till lunch at least, and then, you know, you'll get something out of it. So India won the toss finally. Kohli said he himself is surprised. So, and India went with unchanged team, and England, of course, I think they took a gamble. I would say they have dropped Dan Lawrence and they have taken David Malan. That I don't think that's a big decision, but what for me is a big decision is they got Carrick Overton in place of Mark Wood, whereas Carrick Overton is not a, like you can say, a mainstream bowler. He's more or less like an all-rounder. So I think they took gamble there instead of Saqib Ahmed. So what are your thoughts on India's team selection, Raja?
I think going for it came from the confidence of the Lord spin that generally, India, if there is a spectacular victory or something, they go with the same kind of as the 11. And to be honest, they were deserving of that, maybe. See that in the Lord's Test, Rahane and Pujara stood up and they put on a brilliant partnership. And they brought a lot of hope into the setup as well. And going with, because that was the dicey point, there could have been an argument of whether to include Ashwin in place of the fourth seamer. Going ahead with an unchanged 11, I think it was more a reflection of how great the Lord's win was. And by the end of the test, whatever were the question marks on, say, someone like a Pujara or a Rahane, they were addressed to a large extent by the solid partnership in the second innings, which gave a great platform for the team. There could have been an argument of including R. Ashwin, and there has been a lot of chatter online as well. But who do you take out? Because all four seamers did very well. So considering that, going ahead with an unchanged 11, I thought was unsurprising. What are your thoughts?
Definitely, Raja. I think there is a lot of chatter on post the match, right? Whether why he has been selected, why he has not been selected. I think it's very easy to comment the hindsight, right? Like you mentioned, it's in the current setup, it's difficult to bring in Ashwin, because Ashwin alone, if you ask me, I think I mentioned in the previous episode also, if they have to bring in Ashwin in that setup, they have to bring in Shardul also. So because we are already playing with a long tail. And if we remove Jadeja and keep Ashwin there, again, batting has to be strengthened a bit more. So they have to leave out one of the pace bowlers. And Virat also mentioned in the, you know, in the toss that they did think about bringing in Ashwin. But then again, they felt that pitch is more suited to Jadeja. So we have to consider those things also, right? Once India lose the match and then everyone will start jumping that they have not selected Ashwin. Ashwin is a, you know, world number two bowler. Of course, he's a great bowler. He'll get his time. But it's always easy to go, you know, in a hindsight and say he has not been selected. Yeah. And that is a selection mistake and all this stuff. So again, I think next two matches...
Selection mistakes are always brought into the light only when there are massive failures. That's how Indian cricket has always been, at least in terms of the supporter base.
Definitely. I think it's a wise decision if you ask me to go with the same 11, considering especially they got a good amount of rest, right? For 8 days, there is a good rest. So there is no such thing called like players getting, you know, overused or something. So yeah. I think it's a good thing. But yeah, unfortunately, I think India took a gamble there by, you know, winning the toss and opting out to bat. But it's a worth taking one, I would say, because especially considering the hit point in terms of batting for India in the previous two test matches are the opening batsmen, right? So now the opening batsman gets the load if India takes the, you know, batting if they win the toss. And I think they did it, but unfortunately the strategy has failed. But I think it's worth taking that gamble. What do you say?
Yeah. It was, you know, we could say that by the looking at the result of the first session, we could say that it was such a bad, horrible mistake and all that. But just a few hours down the line, India wasn't able to generate that kind of moment or pace and all that for when England were batting, right? They finished the first day at 120 for no loss, and Hasib Hamid and Roji Burns had stuck in. So I think it was more of England exploiting whatever little help they had much better. Indian batters not executing their roles and making too many mistakes. And was it correct that I think the first five dismissals were all involved just Josh Butler? So they were all fended outside the off stump, or, and, you know, like ended up being a little bit of tame dismissals. I think all that plays into a part. I think we can all go back to you know, like Adelaide and say that, oh, it was just a half an hour of horrible batting. But again, there are problems. I'm sure there are, by the end of the test, I think there are certain vulnerabilities which became stronger. But yeah, I don't think that the decision to bat first was a very massively wrong one, because it could have gone either way.
Yeah, definitely. I think if Rohit and Rahul had played the way they have played in the previous two test matches, let us say by the lunch, we would have been one down. Forget about the score. We would
and
have been
even,
one down.
Arguably, you could say that Lords, the first session when we batted, was even tougher.
Right, definitely. Yeah. And in fact, Rohit got only 19, if you see the scoreboard. Yeah. But he has played 100 balls, which is very much important, especially in the test matches. Right. So other than Rohit, only Rahane has played 50 balls. Other than that, no one has played even 30 balls, right? Jadeja played only 29 balls. And I mean, if you execute the way Indian batsman has executed, any day this is bound to happen, right? Especially in English conditions, when I think we have to appreciate the England bowlers also, you know, for getting India all out for 78. Especially when they are coming into the match as underdogs, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, after what happened at Lords, England is coming there as underdogs, and way they have bowled, the lengths that they have bowled. Jimmy Anderson got 3 wickets and Kerry Overton got 3 wickets. I think it's amazing. And India were clueless at the end of the first innings, I would say. 78, it all just happened in, I would say, in it's a matter of 3 hours probably, right?
Right. And England also, to their credit, they went with Sam Curran. They believe they gave an opportunity to Sam Curran, who did well. Right?
Right.
He caught a king pair the last test match and he wasn't bowling all that great. And India, they went with him and he put the right amount of pressure, and he, even in the first innings, and got decently. I think he ended up with 2 wickets as such.
Definitely. And I think it looked as if England is completely batting on a different ground, right? at the end of day one, if you see, like, they are what, 120 out without, you know, a loss of wicket.
Before we get down to the batting aspect of it, I think we missed out, you know, like the what wounded lion, wounded pride of James Anderson. What a comeback! He just bowled 8 overs in the first innings and he demolished the Indian top order.
And he haven't come back. He bowled only a single spell of 8 overs, and then, you know, the rest of the bowlers took care of the balanced Indian batsmen. Amazing. And I think I've seen James Anderson bowling in that spell, and it was not the usual James Anderson bowling, frankly. It was more about, you can say, his plan B, I would say, because like pitching up a little more than usual and moving the ball here and there instead of only going onto the single line of, you know, the fourth stamp or fifth stamp line. So he did change his bowling tactics and it really worked.
I think he broke the back of the Indian attack by the, you know, when he got Kohli out.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And at the end of day one, England were 120 odd runs, and never I have felt, Raja, like India lost the match at the end of day one. Right? Unless a miracle happens, everyone knows that, you know, it's difficult for India to come back in the match, especially when your opposition is looking strong at the end of day one, and already they came into leading at the end of day one. Right. So,
and it's very important, right? In England's perspective, the opening order, the top three have been very average. Your Sibley, Burns and Lawrence and all those guys. You know, if you take that extension longer, against India, they've been pretty average for the whole year so far. So England made a brave call in, you know, bringing David Malan and taking out, you know, the solid red ball player. And they also promoted Hasib Hamid, who's had a pretty average, you know, it's like, you know, for all his talent, but a pretty average Lord's test. With that kind of pressure, and they've done extremely well. Rory Burns was also under a lot of pressure. The two of them stuck together, and by the end of the day, they've essentially took the match away from India, because a couple of wickets early into, by that time, would have given India a lot of hope and promoted, would have reduced the deficit also, like by the eventual margin.
So I think if Indian openers have done what Rory Burns and Hasib Hamid has done, probably the entire match would have gone in a different direction, right? Because again, like you mentioned, Rory Burns and Hasib Hamid has a point to prove there, because like all the others have been dropped, right? Rory Burns have been keeping some faith on him. So it's his turn to really come up that day to keep his place. And Hasib Hamid, he has again point to prove. He is coming back after a break of 3-4 years with England team, and he failed miserably in the last test match. So he has a point to prove, and they have done, I think, excellent. And again, they have put opening partnership of 135. Then comes David Malan, and we have seen how classy batsman he is in T20s itself, right? He is not someone, you know, who throws away his wicket even in T20s. So he has played really well.
Incredible partnership. And root, I don't know, man. How does India solve the root problem? What is the solution to this? Because once he gets in, it's difficult to take him out. And he takes exceptional bowling to get him out. And he is probably making the fewest mistakes of all the batsmen playing in this series. And once he settles in, he's not giving any opportunity to any bowler to get his wicket. And incredible, just back-to-back, three centuries this series, and in such a great fashion. Incredible.
Root has got 1366 runs so far in 2021 test matches.
Yeah.
And he is going to play another 7 test matches this year at least. 5 Ashes test matches and 2 more with India.
Maybe Ashes will be carried forward to the next year, but at least 4 or 5 test matches for
definitely.
Sure.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. So, I don't know, maybe he'll end up with 2,000 runs in this calendar year, you never know, with the form that he is in. So, I think he is very much capable of doing what he is doing. So, ultimately, England has piled up 432 runs. Right?
What did you feel about India's bowling, though?
So, I think, you have to be fair on Indian bowlers also, because we all know it's a high-scoring ground traditionally, right? It's not that bowlers get everything from day one, day two. We know, I mean, initially, probably first one session or two sessions may be difficult, but after that it's batsman paradise normally. So I don't want to analyze too much into bowling scorecard. At the same time, one thing that is, you know, really glaring is Ishant's bowling, right? Yeah. So he has bowled 22 overs and he has got zero maidens. And he has given runs at an economy of 4.2 in a test match. So I think this is something really glaring, right? So what do you feel about Ishant's bowling there?
I agree with what you said. I think there were also like reports that I've read after the, you know, while the bio, after the end of day two, that how he's never given away so many runs and so many runs through square cuts also. Like at least three, I think three, four square cuts came off his bowling, and that was last time that happened was 5-6 years previous to this, where that was a different Ishant, right? Ishant has gone from made a complete change in his this thing, where from mostly like a workhorse who kept tirelessly bowling to becoming like this incredible phenomenon in the last 4-5 years, where his average has improved, where his wicket taking abilities has improved, his lines have, this is like everything about him has changed completely. So it's a very rare off day for him in at least in the last few years. And but by the end of it, I think he seemed quite flat as well. His pace was down, his bowling very wide off the off stump, and a bit of a concern. And also he's bowled the most number of no balls in.
Yeah, he has bowled 4 no balls, and more worrying thing is he has bowled more than Bumrah. Bumrah is always topper in bowling no balls, and Ishant has bowled 4 no balls. So I think more than that, I think one more point adding to what you have said, many really, you know, criticized the way Virat Kohli has used Ishant when he's especially not in great, you know, bowling touch. So I think he opened the bowling with him, and when the second new ball has come as well, again Ishant has opened the bowling. So people have criticized that. I think there is some merit there, definitely. So I think, yeah, I mean, other than Ishant, I don't see other bowlers has done really bad or something. Again, on that pitch, definitely, like, you really can't do too much of analysis on bowling front.
Indian second innings.
So I think it's up to Indian batsmen now, right? I think they should have come prepared, or I think they would have prepared to bat for 2 complete days at least to save the match. Forget about winning the test match, because all this happened just in time of 2 days.
Yeah.
I really felt, you know, had India been in the same situation at the end of day 3, it would have been much better. But unfortunately, for what India have done in the first innings while batting, so everything has come down. Everything has happened in just 2 days of time. So India has started well, I would say, because Rohit Sharma, again, he carried his game from the first innings, I would say. This time he has got some runs as well. Rahul got out early, but Pujara and, you know, Rohit Sharma has played really, really well. Your thoughts on Rohit Sharma and Pujara?
Incredible to see. I think we were discussing offline as well how positive Pujara seemed. He wasn't trying just to like get into that defensive mode and just survive for the longest amount of time and just tire the bowlers. When the opportunity was there, he was cashing and he was trying to score runs. And at a point, right, I think we took this whole issue of that. We were taking a lot of screenshots where he was asking, strike rate was above 83 for his first 10 to 15 balls. And once that, once there was an opportunity for runs and there was a dependability in terms of the partnership, I think that was one of the best phases for India in the test match till that point. Even though India took 5 wickets against in the third session on day 2 for India. But even then, that was more of this was even better, where the solidity of the partnership was the first highlight that India had.
I think this innings of Pujara is mirror image to the other innings of Pujara, I would say, or general his batting pattern. He'll start slow and then slowly he'll try to up his strike rate. But in this match, I think most of the time he was in strike rates above 60 only, most of the time.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, he was trying to just, what do you say, not to give away the wicket or score runs. Virat and Pujara were just trying to, you know, pass the time. So that time his run rate has come, strike rate has come down. But other than that, I think he was very much in the game and he was scoring really freely. So once Rohit Sharma got out, Virat Kohli has come and then he looked confident. He looked a little bit, you know, off in the beginning. But once he got those initial one or two fours, he was looking confident. And India ended the day really well, I would say. I mean, Pujara and Virat Kohli, they were looking to reach almost, you know, century and half century before Root decides to take the new ball. Because I think there was issue of lighting and then they decided to bowl. Spin for few overs and then these two got, you know, get going. So Root finally decided to end the day. Again, we all know 4 days not going to be easy because new bowlers are going to bowl, fresh England bowlers will be fresh and they are going to bowl with the new ball. It's almost like starting off a fresh innings, keeping whatever has happened on day three aside, right? So that's what has happened. And I think India did what they did in the first innings again. So your thoughts on what happened on day four?
So much hope and turned into so much despair so quickly. That's the summary of the fourth day. Again, incredible. I like the kind of with the expectations that we can have and how quickly things can happen in cricket is just it's an example of that. When, as you said, at the end of day three, India looked in very good shape to like. Not just maybe survive and take the game deep and just to build some lead as well. But credit to them and credit to the English bowlers. Once Pujara fell, I think in the 84th over by, you know, like Robinson. And that was also a very weird dismissal, right? He just padded to a ball that was coming in and not declared, not given out by the umpire, but taken on review. So, two cases of reviews helping out for England in terms of Rohit Sharma as well as this.
Right. I think, yeah. Sorry, I forgot to mention. I think that Rohit Sharma's once was worth discussing. I mean, I don't know whether it's, I don't know if really ball touches the wickets. I'm not sure whether it will really, you know, take off the bells or not. It was just kissing the wickets. Just, I don't know, with
I think
so small margin.
It was just kissing it, but I think it would have taken the bails off, no problem.
Okay. But really, really close one.
Yeah,
right?
Very, very close. It could have gone, I don't know if it's a fraction of millimeters or even smaller than that. So, yeah, once Pujara fell, the onus was on, you know, Rahane and Kohli to stabilize the innings. And but once Kohli fell, I think we all knew that it would just be a matter of time.
And Rahane doing what he has done the entire series, right? Once Kohli or Pujara gets out, he gets out immediately. He doesn't really bother. So it was sad to see that, man. I think, at least forget about runs. If he had struck there and played 100 balls, I would have been happier. But getting out the way he is getting out and just for, you know, 25 balls, 30 balls, I think it's very difficult to continue the way it is.
Yeah. And, you know, like another aspect that we generally do not talk about is also Rishabh Pant's batting. You know, like he scored 2 in the first innings and 1 this time around, played 16 balls over, you know, both innings put together. It's great that, you know, we can look at him as a maverick and we can give him all the options and all the opportunities for him to play the kind of free cricket that he wants. But I think he has played enough for test cricket to just like
this is his second tour to England.
Yeah,
think last tour he performed well. I think he got a near century or something at the end of last tour. So
yeah,
I think it's time for Rishabh Pant to take more responsibility as well. Of course, his place is secured. There is no question. He's a match winner any day because he being a keeper batsman also gives him an advantage of doing keeping job. Right. He's doing it excellently. So, but at the same time, probably the way the top order is getting dismissed probably has some bearing on his mind, probably to whether go for the shot or whether to poke it or not. I think those kinds of things were not usually seen for Rishabh Pant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those kind
when
of
he goes,
problems.
Even when he's edging, it used to like fly over the slips because you used to go with that much of right. conviction.
Right.
Yeah, just poking around and fending, that's very like short.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then it's downfall from there. I mean, there is no.
Yeah, so, Jadeja made some, like, he played his T20 game. I think that's the only plus point. But yeah, things fell, unraveled pretty quickly. On day four, we lost, what, 8 wickets in a span of 20 overs. Pretty disappointing.
Yeah, pretty disappointing. And India finally, you know, lost the game by an innings, right? Innings and 60, 70 odd runs. So,
yeah. And great bowling performance. What great discipline by young man Ollie Robinson.
Definitely,
five wickets,
I think
5-wicket haul, and you know, like just bowling.
This
those
is his second
runs.
5-wicket haul, I think,
correct,
in this
correct.
Series, right? Yeah, amazing piece of see. Bowling. Yeah, he has been a really good find of this season, right? Because when he played against New Zealand in that single match also,
yeah.
we all know what he's capable of, but it was more like a one-off match. Now he's doing it in, you know, this complete
and
big
it
series.
Was, yeah, and it was a steep way, the high of making a debut and going through that controversy and
definitely.
Having to sit out immediately after such a great debut performance, and then, you know, having the strength to come back and being assigned, and he's going from strength to strength, and what a great find for England.
And bowling alongside Jimmy Anderson yeah. and Stuart Broad will only, you know, make him better.
Right? And especially, yeah. you know, like he's, you could look, you could arguably say that because Broad is not playing, he's the second, you know, senior most bowler after Anderson, and he's done that because you already mentioned how Craig Overton was more of a all-rounder. Looked at an all-rounder. So was Sam Curran for that matter. So there's a huge responsibility on this young man, and he's living up to it every time he gets the opportunity. So he's been the find of the series so far.
True, Raja. So let's look ahead. So now series is level. I think it's not a bad thing at the end of 3 test matches, right? Really, I mean, forget about what happened in 1, 2, 3 matches. At the end of, you know, 3 test matches, if India would have said series will be leveled and you have to go and play 2 test matches, India would have allowed it, right? Any one of us. Because it's not easy winning in England, and if you say series will be equal at the end of 3 test matches, I would have been happier at least. Absolutely. Okay, because 3 test matches have been played. Now what India has to do is clear. They have the batting concerns, a bit of bowling changes here and there. So we know what has to be done. Now, I think it's up to India's batting team, you know, to deliver what is required to win this series or lose this series is completely, I think, I would say it's in India's batsman's hands. So let's look at where we are going to play the next test match and what we have in offer. So next test match is being played in London, Kennington Oval. So again, this is ground which traditionally helps England team, right? And one advantage for India here is there will be an assistance for spinners definitely as the game progresses, especially in the third and fourth innings. That's what has been the, you know, flavor of this pitch traditionally. So if you look at what happened in the last 15 test matches where England has played here, they have won 8, draw 3, and they lost just 4 matches. So India won their last test match on this ground in 1971, 50 years ago. So, but one good thing is, after 1971, for next 40 years, India have never lost a test match there. They have played 5 test matches there, all 5 ended as draw. So traditionally, this has been, I can say, a decent ground for India. Just before, you know, I would say 2010's decade has started. So yeah. From 2011, India started losing the test matches there. They lost in 2011, they lost in 14, they lost in 18. So it's a good pitch. Again, I'm looking at scorecards of these test matches, Raja. Indian bowlers have done well because if there is some assistance in the pitch, definitely Indian bowlers are going to make use of it. Indian bowlers have done well and matches have been lost only because of batsmen not getting yeah. those enough runs on the board. So again, speaking of 1971, it's been 50 years. It was the first test match that India has won in the England, first test series the India has won in England, and the test match was won by Indian spinners. So in the first innings, Indian bowlers Eddie Chandrasekhar and Venkat Raghavan took 2-2 wickets, and in the second innings, B.S. Chandrasekhar took 6 wickets and got England all out for some I think 100 odd runs, and India finally scored their required runs of 170. Yeah, I think India target was 173, and they took 100 overs to get to the target and finally won the test match. I think it's been 50 years, and I think there were some celebrations, if I remember correctly, before start of this test match or the last match, I think in between the, you know, sessions, there was talk about this first series, like, because India started playing in England in 1932, and probably India took almost 40 years to win the first series in England. It was such a huge, and again, India going to Oval in this condition is interesting. So your thoughts on next test match, Raja?
Yeah, as you said, if you had told neutral fans that in general that India and England would be level going into the fourth test match, we would take it, right? And as there is historical, it has been a ground where spinners have come in to play, and Indian bowlers, irrespective of that, I think bowling contingent is doing really well. We have got an all-out attack which can do well in all conditions. And as you said, the onus is on the batting to deliver. So will there be, India needs to know, we know what needs to happen for this match to go India's way. But will India make changes now? That's also a question that we need to ask. Will there be an opportunity given to someone like Arif Bihari? Will the 3-4-5 be broken up slightly to make way for somebody, and to make sure that there is some new energy or some this thing? Because they've all been a little patchy going into every test match. And more often than not, they're collectively failing. So again, that's a question that Indian selectors need to answer. But yeah, it will be interesting. It will be, a hard-fought game, and looking forward to it.
I think definitely India need changes, Raja. I'm not in favor of continuing with Rahane, at least in this series. Forget about what they'll do after this series. I think India should give chance to Vihari. Because players coming in and warming the bench for entire series is of no use for anyone, yeah. Especially when your batsmen are failing. If they are scoring runs, they will not have any other option but to warm the bench. But when your batsmen are failing, especially when your middle order is weak, I think India should bring in Vihari in place of Rahane. Let him fail, no problem, because Rahane is also failing, but at least he'll get the match experience, and probably that will be useful for India and for him in the next tour. So Vihari has to come, and India should find a way to bring in Ashwin no matter what. I think Ashwin is going to find his way into this test match. I think they'll rest one of the fast bowlers. So Ashwin will come in. And there are reports that Jadeja had a slight injury in the fielding, and he has been taken to precautionary scans. If everything is well, I feel India will definitely play Ashwin and Ashwin and Jadeja, because I think in 2018...
we played both spinners. Yeah.
No, I think we played Jadeja alone, but Vihari bowled in that match. Probably today, this match...
2014,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So, England played both Moeen Ali and Adil Rashid in 2018.
Right.
So, I think Jadeja is fit, I think he will play, because he bowled decently in the last test match as well, and he is getting some runs. So he is more kind of an all-rounder now. So we can rest one of the fast bowlers, probably Ishant, seeing what he has done in the previous test match. I think they might be resting Ishant, in my opinion, and bringing in Ashwin. But do you think, do they do any changes to other three fast bowlers? Do you think they'll rest someone between Shami, Siraj and Bumrah, because they have been playing three test matches continuously and they have one more test match to go? You have your Umesh warming the bench for the three test matches now. So do you think there is a possibility of change there?
I don't think so. I don't think that India will take the bowling to that level. And also, especially, I know they've had a long stint, but it was only for one innings, right? I think they have had enough opportunity to recover by then, by the start of the... And these are strong people. I think they'll... fitness levels are really, really high. I don't think they'll tweak the main the three of what you mentioned of Bumrah, Siraj and Shami. Maybe there could be an opportunity for maybe if Jadeja, as you said, if we may have injury concerns, maybe Shardul might get an opportunity.
There is an Akshar Patel also.
Akshar Patel, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jadeja and Akshar could also be a state swap. But yeah, I think bowling's wise, I think they've done what they deserve to get another opportunity, surely.
Adding to that, this match also they have bowled only one innings.
And yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and this match has been played after a gap of eight days, and then next test match they have got now additional day rest. So I don't think they will tinker too much to the bowling department, I think. But at least two changes has to be made because Ashwin has to come in, and my personal feeling is Vihari or Mayank has to come in the place of Rahane without a doubt. So let's see how India is going to come up with this. And definitely, it's a must-win game for India, I would say, because it's not difficult in countries like England to, you know, go down and then win the final test match and level the series, right? It creates too much of pressure on Indian batsmen, especially considering the form that they are in. So it's must-win game for India, I would say, at least to save the series for, I mean, keeping what is going to happen at Manchester, I said. So it's must-win game for India, I think.
Absolutely. And it's a record that India would also like to alter. 50 years going on, you know, like without a test win at a venue, it's something that they will also look at. And it'll be great to like tick off a win at the Oval. So yeah, looking forward to the game.
So that's all for today's episode. Please do subscribe to our YouTube channel and do leave your review on Apple Podcast if you are listening to this on any of the podcast platforms, and follow us on Spotify and Google Podcasts to get notified when we release a new episode. Thanks for tuning in and stay tuned for more such interesting episodes. Bye-bye.